My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another edition of our Warriors Weekly Podcast. John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz here for 95.7 The Game. And Steiny, let's just dive right into it. We're coming to you after the Warriors rally again at home after a really ugly first half. They come from 20 down. They beat the Pelicans. And I think we got to start with Draymond Green. He's the story of the Pelicans game and maybe the Warriors season in a lot of different ways. I mean, just watching the game as it headed toward halftime, and the Warriors were awful. It looked like they were reaching a breaking point. Draymond Green was mixing it up with everybody from Steve Kerr to his teammates to the opposition. But in many ways, it goes to show that the Warriors just have to ride this thing with Draymond and with the rest of these guys till the wheels come off. And it looked like the wheels were about to maybe come off, but then they didn't, and this team lives to fight and see another day together.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, we'll come in and do a radio show today, and we'll talk probably a lot about Draymond Green. And on the one hand, you know, he was maybe the most important player for the Warriors last night outside of Steph Curry. On the other hand, this is who he is. So I almost feel like the discussion over whether he's right or wrong or whether it's good or bad or whether it doesn't matter anymore. He this is who he is, and the team accepts it, or at least they live with it. So if they live with it, then while we can get upset, the bottom line is it is what it is. I mean, he's a volatile player who's always going to be volatile. I do think the one thing that's interesting is, you know, you look at a game last night, and to me, the difference between Draymond being the catalyst for a win and Draymond costing the Warriors a win are the three officials, quite frankly. I mean, to me, I think you could look at that game last night and say, man, the Warriors got lucky he didn't get thrown out. I mean, if I'm the Pelicans, I think he should have been thrown out last night for either a technical or flagrant on the kick after the charge, or just general, he was just out of control. Now, he pushed it to the limit. He didn't go over the edge, at least as far as those three refs were last night, and it all worked out. But I agree with you. Like, I think it's easy to say, you know, Draymond willed it. He did all those things. But what if he didn't? Like, what if he gets thrown out of that game? Well, like, to me, it's so close. That was so close to being a disaster that I can't forget that it was so close to being a disaster.
No,
you know what I mean?
You can't forget it. But I think in many ways, that's the story of this Warriors season, is it's been so close to being a disaster every three or four games, seemingly, but then it hasn't quite gotten to that point. And it looked like they were about to break as a team last night. I said to you, whether it was the frustration from the poor play to the Pelicans now being the latest team of what feels like about 15 or 20 that just get right up in their grill and basically tell them you ain't what you used to be. And we can handle you now. And you could just see everything that's been a problem for this team all season on full display. The disconnect, the sloppy play with the turnovers, the bad shots, getting worked defensively by another team. Like it was all right there. And I guess to bring it back to the starting point of the conversation about Draymond is, for better or worse, it makes me think of what we had, the conversation we were having on the show a couple of weeks ago when I was sitting in for Goo about, what happens at the end of this thing? And do you look to move on from Draymond? And I said to you, you move on from Draymond, it's over. And it may be over anyway along the lines if you don't move on from Draymond. But last night it was never more clear that if you don't have him, then there's nothing to even, like, you might as well be Portland at that point. Like you're just done. And so you're accepting, kind of like with Jordan Poole, the good with the bad. And you just have to hope that the good outshines the bad enough to win. Klay Thompson, different player. You're hoping that he can make enough shots to where the terrible shots he takes and the fact that he can't defend at the level that he used to. Like you're just kind of placing your bet, right? Right before the roulette wheel spins at this point to where you might come up great, but it might all end. But you know what? It might all end anyway because it's just time for it to end. So I'm almost of that mindset now where it's like just let it all hang out if you're the Warriors. It probably is going to end in a blaze whenever it ends.
Yeah. I mean, that's all there really is to me left to do. I mean, there's only one conversation really, isn't it? Can they win it all or can't they? And at halftime, you would have said no chance. And then, of course, after the game, you go, maybe. But let me ask you this. Does a game like last night influence your thought process in any way about whether they can win it or not? Or are you pretty much, in a camp of, all right, I'm going to give them a 10% chance, or I'm going to give them a 25% chance, no matter what happens from here on in? Because you know what I mean? Can they do anything now? Did anything happen last night where you either give them more of a chance or less of a chance?
Yeah, I'm kind of done playing that game. To me, they can only go in the less of a chance category at this point.
Gotcha.
If you know what I mean? Gotcha. Like, to me, it's like if they lose last night, well, they probably can't win it because they're probably going to be the 8 seed. If they lose last night, well, they won. So now maybe they can be the 6. And if they're the 6, then I guess I'd give them as good a chance as I would have a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever it is at that point. It's going to be really tough. I mean, it is, because I think the one thing I go back to is look how hard last night's game was to win. Yeah. Like it was just, and how many times this year they've had to play that game at home just to win.
Yeah.
And I start thinking, what does that look like in game 4 of a series against anybody when you've already played 3 games like that, and then you get down 18 at home in game 4 in a game that you need, or you're down 3-1 in a series? Are you going to be able to dial that up multiple times? Like, are the Warriors going to be able to do that multiple times in a series? Because they've had to do it multiple times in 3 or 4 home games over the course of the season. And that's where I go, man, even if it is Sacramento, or even if it is, Memphis, who they, who's getting hot, by the way, but they think that they stand a great chance against. Like, I think the Warriors believe they can beat Memphis just on anger. Like, I think the Warriors think they could win that series just because they hate the Grizzlies so much that they'd be able to will themselves through it. And I'm kind of kidding as I say that, but it's like you know, that if they were able to do that, it would take so much out of them that I'm not sure that they'd have enough left for whoever's waiting for them on the back end, let's say of the first two series.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think their challenge is going to be. Yes, they're dangerous, and yes, they have the ability to beat anybody, but they also can lose to anybody. And that's never been the case with them, that they went into four series with an opportunity for that team to beat them. It just never was like that. So, you know, I just look at they won it. And here's the other thing that I think we're that's been underestimated is just the difficulty in repeating. And one of the reasons it's hard to repeat is because they played into June. So they play into June and now they're playing hard games, right? Like it's going to be hard to play like your best basketball from this point on after all you've done for the last year and a half. Like will it catch up with them? And the reality is that with a lot of teams, it usually does with this kind of age. So not only, you know, age, but just the fact that they played a long season last year. So, you know, that's the thing that to me is different for the Warriors. It's like you have to envision them winning four series now, which seems a lot harder than it did even last year.
No doubt. And I think the other part of that is Andrew Wiggins. Like, are they going to have Andrew Wiggins back? Because to me, that's price of admission. And I'll say this. I mean, Steve Kerr was asked, as he does every game or two, you know, in his pregame about Wiggins. And I thought it was another positive sign. And it seems like we kind of go back and forth a little bit where, you know, a month or so ago, Bob Myers, to me, sounded optimistic when I was sitting in for you and Goo asked him about, you know, is Wiggins going to be out for the year? Is there a scenario where Wiggins is out for the year? And Bob said, I don't think so. And then, you know, Steve Kerr before the Pelicans game says Wiggins has been working out on his own, which I think is, you know, that's the first time that anybody's, you know, really known that he's even doing anything to try and stay remotely in shape, which I think gives him a chance to come back. It also tells me that Wiggins in the back of his mind, no matter what's going on or how bad or serious it is, still has it, you know, in the back of his mind that he at least is keeping himself close enough to in shape to where he could have the option to come back. For all we knew before yesterday, Wiggins was so far gone that he just wasn't right, going to be able to come back. And I think we know that at least it's on the table again that he would be able to if he chooses to, which is a positive sign compared to where it had been the last couple weeks.
Yeah, without obviously we don't know any specifics, but I think one of the things that has to be going on right now with Wiggins is mental. And, you know, JD, there's no secret to when you're not feeling good, you don't want to work out. You just don't. When you're in any kind of depression, you don't want to work out. It's not worth it. You just don't feel like it. You have to fight it. And so I agree. Maybe, you know, the mere fact that he's going to the gym or he's, I don't even know where it is, but the mere fact that he's getting exercise, I know this is going to say, but that is a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good sign because, you know, of all the things it could be, you know, one of the things that could be going on is he's just, you know, he's depressed about whatever has happened. And he's questioning whether basketball is even important at all. Well, you know what? He got some shots up. He's getting shots up. He's running on the treadmill. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's a baseline toward a potential return if the rest of it, with whatever's going on, can come to fruition, which I think I said to you a couple days ago, like, well, we're getting to that point where basically he's, you know, he's going to have to make a decision if he's going to be available, let's say, for a first round. He's probably going to have to make a decision in the next week or so.
I would think so. But the one thing I do think is, while it wouldn't be ideal, he could come come back in the playoffs. You know what I mean? I mean, like, everybody's saying, well, what do they got, five games left? You know, he's going to need to get some games under his belt. Okay, of course he is. We know that. But he's also 27. He's a pro. And if, you know, he happens to join him in game three of the first round, they're not going to turn their back on him. They're going to say, you know, let's see if we can help him be an asset for us and win this first round. The bigger issue to me isn't necessarily when he comes back, is what happens when he comes back. And, you know, how much does he play and how much does it impact other players? Because let's face it, JD, if Wiggins, maybe this is pie in the sky, but if he's playing 33, 34 minutes a game, those minutes are coming from somewhere. And probably whoever they come from becomes a little less effective, whether it's DiVincenzo, Kuminga, or Payton.
No, and
so that's going to have to be in the equation.
No, we've already seen that a little bit just with Payton's return affecting Kuminga for the first game. And I think it affected DiVincenzo the first game. Just to kind of continue on that point, and I do think it was interesting, just as a side, that, you know, Anthony Slater, The Athletic, had asked Coach Kerr, hey, do you think, you know, would there be a point where you just wouldn't have Wiggins back, just to get the answer? And Kerr said, well, no, absolutely not. Like, whenever he wanted to come back, we'll have him for sure. And to that point of, is it middle of the series? Is it a second round series if they have to try to win one series without him? Which I think was an obvious answer, but still the question needed to be asked, because it does fall in line with what you're saying as far as, you know, the whole belief that he has to come back in the regular season, and it will impact things for sure. I want to ask you along those lines, though, now about Kuminga specifically, because I think one of the things from the Pelicans game where Steve Kerr gets a lot of credit, and I mentioned this on the post game show, is he put Kuminga in the starting lineup at the four against the Pelicans. I don't know that it's going to necessarily be an everyday thing, but Kuminga got lost in the shuffle in the first game back with Payton against Minnesota, and he didn't have a good game against Philadelphia after he had had a few good games in a row. And it was, you know, him and DiVincenzo, both Kuminga and DiVincenzo, we've talked about this a lot, just the fact that when they've played less, they've been less effective. Like, they've needed to play a certain amount of minutes to be effective. And so I give Kerr credit for getting Kuminga in there. He said it was about wanting to get his defense on Ingram in that starting lineup. But to me, it was really, he had to separate him and Payton, because he tried to play them together against the Timberwolves. It didn't work. I think one thing fans don't always realize is the fact that Kuminga and Payton basically play the same offensive position on the court. They're basically both fours for the Warriors on the court. And I know there have been a lot of people clamoring for Kuminga to play the three as the starter, like basically start for DiVincenzo. That wasn't going to happen, but I do think, like, Kurt tried to get something. He tried to get a little more out of Kuminga against the Pelicans, I think, to prevent the team from losing Kuminga again, because it was starting to go down that path where he'd been effective, he wasn't effective. Now there's a veteran option. Now he starts to get buried a little bit. Now you can't use him at all, and that ultimately hurts the team. So he makes Looney the backup five, which worked. He separates Payton and Kuminga, and he gives Kuminga a little carrot of, hey, I am going to throw you out there with the starters, which is still a, I've got your back, and he can be effective in that role when he's getting his points off of defense or cuts mainly. And last night he did that again, and they needed those points. Like, Kuminga's good offensive games are going to look exactly like last night and exactly like the Dallas game.
No, I agree. I agree. And you know, it's that with a young player, you got to keep him engaged. But you wonder if, you know, one of two things is going to happen. Either Kuminga's minutes are going to drop and he's going to get worse, or he's going to show kind of the maturity and the growing up of being able to do more or as much in fewer minutes. I mean, that's really, to me, what it comes down to. Because if you're getting 22 good minutes out of Kuminga a night, and now you got to cut him down to 14, but it affects him, like, then it's a lose-lose, because then he's playing fewer minutes and he's playing worse. So that, you know, that's something you got to look at with a younger player. But the one thing I was thinking is, you know, and here's the one thing I'll just throw at you is, you know, one of the reasons why I think the Warriors are going to, you know, are going to struggle to win at all is just because, having watched them all season, you can see all their issues and their challenges and their adversity. I'm going back to all the way to the punch, and then everything that's happened this year with Wiggins. And I look at it and I'm like, there's just too much going against them. There's just too much. And it's not so much, well, these are bad signs. No, these are more tangible than that. So the question that, and so the way I look at it is, man, it's just going to be tough to overcome these. But there's another segment that says, this is what they do. They overcome. This is why they're champions, because they will be able to get over the punch and what's going on with Wiggins and the Gary and Trayden Wise and Kuminga in and out. Like, that's what champions do. They get over it all and they win it. I just think this season has been different than any other season in the past in terms of, I think they've faced more adversity this year than they've ever faced. And it also just happens to be the least talented team they've had in their last 10 years, which is going to make it tough.
I think it's all true. I think it is the least talented team of the groups that they've had. I think there is more adversity. I also think of something I think I said to you during the Philly game, which is these guys are pretty hard to kill. And there have been a lot of times where it's looked like teams in individual games have had them down, especially at Chase. They're able to come back and win. They did it again last night. They almost did it against Minnesota before they kicked that game away in the final minutes. But I sort of view that as, you know, they're hard to kill in a lot of these individual games. They're going to be hard to kill in a playoff series as well. That's the part where, you know, I just don't see this team going down without a fight. Like, if they get beat by Sacramento in a first round series, it's going to be seven games, right? It's not going to be, if they play Memphis, it's going to be seven games, and game seven may be tied with 5 minutes left, or they may be down in a game seven and they come back and they make a run and maybe they aren't good enough at the end to win it. But it's not like the one thing I don't see if this team is close to whole is them just completely coming apart at the seams and getting swept in a series. Now, who knows? Maybe, I mean, it was that fragile last night.
Right.
And you know what? I think to your point, teams that go through a lot of stuff, a lot of strife in a season, eventually they do hit that breaking point and they fray and they aren't good enough to overcome it. And they kind of flame out. I mean, we've seen it a lot from teams that the Warriors have beaten in some of these playoff series to end their seasons over the years. But no, I think they're going to be as difficult. I always look at it as, you know, look, how difficult were the Lakers to close out with Shaq and Kobe, or even before that? How difficult were the Celtics? How difficult were the Bulls? You know, the Bulls never got closed out. There were a few teams that had them down. They never got closed out. In different things. I wanted to wrap on this note just because I thought Draymond post game, he mentioned Bob Myers and Bob, you know, Draymond gets taken out of the game. He's all pissed off at Kerr. He's pissed off they didn't challenge a call. He's pissed off because he's in foul trouble. He wanted to stay in the game. All this stuff's going on. Bob Myers comes down and he starts talking to Draymond Green and kind of calms him down. And Draymond, after the game, makes reference to that moment and point in time. And he also goes on to say, hey, you know, there's probably one or two GMs in the league that would even do that and have the pulse of the team and players on the team to come down and do that. I felt a little bit like Draymond was sending a little Mini shot across the bow of, hey, Bob's important. And he stopped short of saying, hey, I don't know what the deal is with Bob's contract or why he may or may not be back next year, but he better be back next year. And I even took it so far as to thinking, you know what, maybe the decision on Bob Myers impacts Draymond Green's decision as to whether he wants to even be here next year, because those two have been so tight.
Right.
And Bob has been one of the few guys that Draymond respects enough to at least look in the mirror sometimes when it comes to his temper and some of the antics.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. I feel like with Myers that, I mean, I just don't feel like he's coming back, because it's just gotten to this point, which seems strange. And I don't know. I mean, look, I have no idea what's going on. But why wouldn't he have a contract now, but he'll have one at the end of the season? Like, I don't know. I mean, what's going to really change? Something's going on with it can't just be money. I think there's a lot going on with Bob's been here for 10 years. And you know, the bottom line is the team, I do think if this year doesn't end with a title, it may be a transition year, maybe the perfect time for him to leave. But you're right. I mean, basically Bob Myers is a lion tamer. You know, that's what he does with Draymond Green. And you're right. I mean, Draymond Green went from 100 miles an hour to seeing Bob saying, yeah, you're right, I'll get back in there. Like, so there's definitely a relationship there. So, I mean, it's a big stew of stuff.
And I'm kind of with you. It feels like it's a little bit far gone to come back at this point, although maybe there is. I've maintained it's not totally about money with Bob, because if it was, I think that would be an easy fix. But at this point, you know, maybe it is. There's a number that needs to be met, and Bob takes another look at whether or not the whole thing's worth it for all the drama and the strife and everything that's come along with it. But that remains to be seen. All right, Steiny, good stuff, my man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right, man.
All right, for Steiny, I'm JD, Warriors Weekly Podcast for 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.